again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Lori. How are you?
I'm good. It's almost Thanksgiving.
It is almost Thanksgiving. Do you like Thanksgiving?
I do.
Do you like it more or less than Christmas?
Less.
Less? See, I always feel that Thanksgiving gets a bad rap. Christmas just overrides it every year.
It does. But, I mean, there's something wonderful, right, about the lack of pressure at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You don't have quite the number of gifts and to-dos. It's just kind of family time and food and, yeah, you know, relaxation. There's more relaxation at Thanksgiving.
I agree. And I also think it's just a big meal. Like, what? I really don't know what is better than just a big meal, friends and family around a table.
Well, we are going to talk about what's better. We're going to talk about the sexual feast today.
Okay.
A sexual feast? Yes.
Okay.
But that might be better. But you're feeling terrible.
I'm not great today. I have a little bit of a cold, a little bit of rasp in my voice. I don't know if you can tell.
Yeah, that could be good.
But it feels, I feel like some kind of like,
but the rasp,
blues, some blues singer somewhere. Was like, you know.
The rasp might be off put by the sniffling. And,
yeah, I hope,
you know, like,
I hope not. It may not
your
be
wife
sexy.
Might go really sexy, but all that phlegm, get away.
I hope that doesn't come through. I'm trying to be phlegm free today, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So when you think about a feast, Lori, what do you think about? What are the things that make a feast, right? Because that's what Thanksgiving is supposed to be, right?
Exactly. So. Well, I mean, a ritual and tradition is part of the way we as humans really divide time up.
Right.
You know, otherwise it's just this huge long life with nothing to look forward to.
Right.
So this is something that, you know, whether it's a sacred or a secular kind of holiday, we're marking time, and it's meant to bring people together, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
It reminds us kind of our common experiences, and it's a time that we reflect maybe on where we've come from, where we're at right now, and where we're going.
See, you went toward the deep, meaningful part of it. I went toward the deep, like, stuffing your face, like, eating your fill.
Yeah.
It's a time of overindulgence, honestly, where overindulgence is probably okay.
Yeah, and right, well, we purpose time. It for this time,
right?
We're gonna go crazy.
Yeah, we set it aside, right? But I like there is deep meaning in it, but there's also something where everybody is agreed that we're coming around. There's nothing. I think people agree more when they're. I think there even was a study. I can't remember it exactly, but people agree more with each other when they're eating a meal together, but also when they're eating the same foods.
Oh, sure.
That
happens in my house.
I'm telling you what. Like,
we do not have discussions when my husband is hungry. Thank you very much. No.
You resolve conflict better. Yeah, I think there's just something. We're just all more agreeable with each other. I know that holidays can sometimes lead to conflict between family members.
Sure.
But I think overall, when you're eating good food, the same food together, there's just something that's bonding that brings you together, like you were saying.
There is. And I think it's like a commitment, right? We're going to eat three times our daily calories in one meal.
That's right. We're going to nap afterwards.
We're going to nap afterwards.
Gonna
you know
off.
What is really terrible is we go to our neighbor's house for Thanksgiving, and we've been doing that for 4 years. And I literally, after the meal, go lay down on her couch fall asleep.
Yeah.
I can't stop it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about just being together all day.
Exactly.
You know, we have
a little bit of wine, too, in the middle of the afternoon, you know, out.
Tryptophan and wine. There's not a better sleep aid out there on the market.
Right. We're going to do a sexual feast. We're going to talk about this, what this will do for our intimate life. And I am aware, as we talk about this, and sometimes we talk about optimal sex or idealized sex, and for all our sexual pursuers out there, you know, who long for this kind of thing and think we should have this every day.
Right.
You know, first of all, it's impractical to have a sexual feast on every occasion.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't have the time.
Yeah.
Right. And unfortunately, I think life gets kind of filled up with late night quickies and shower shout outs and
obligation sex
or too tired to have it sex. Or we are thinking of this as, you know, a special occasion and not something that you're not making the grade if you can't persuade your partner to do this.
Do you think that there's any damage from having the expectation that every night should be a sexual feast, or at least most times when we have sex should be a sexual feast?
I think there's huge damage from that. I mean, people who say, yeah, but why can't we do this every night? I'm like, because you'd be exhausted. You'd be fat. You'd be, you know what I mean?
Same reasons you can't eat a huge Thanksgiving meal every night of the week is the same reason.
Right.
In a lot of ways,
sex in a long-term relationship, I mean, it's just natural to have ebb and flows and to do some of it practically and do some of it special. But, you know, I think it's just too much to expect that every single time you have sex, it's going to be like this. But we do want to lay out something that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I will say to all the people out there, let's say men and probably women as well, you know, if you have a partner who says, I can't possibly join you in this sexual feast idea, it's like, I have never talked to a group of people when I've suggested, you know what, book the hotel for the afternoon, go early, take a long nap, take a long shower or a long bath, meet your partner downstairs for drinks and appetizers, then go upstairs and make love, and then the person who is the more tired gets to stay the night. And the other person goes home and takes care of the children or the dogs or whatever. I mean, everybody has always said, oh yeah, I'd do it. I'd absolutely be up for it.
Yeah.
You know, even people who are claiming total low libido, they're like, no, I could get into that.
Yeah.
You know, so in part, that's, I mean, we want to talk about why you're going to have a sexual feast and, you know, how you plan for this and what you're going to do in it. But the first part is, rest assured that with enough planning, I'll bet you can persuade your partner to do this.
Yeah, this is something that both parties usually are going to be up for. And in some ways, like when we talk about why to do this, right, we're talking about something that makes life extraordinary, right? It is a break from the routine. It is a break from the doldrums.
Right. It gets us out of the grind.
That's
what a holiday is about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's essentially manufactured for a purpose to elevate things that we do normally, right? We eat every day, but we elevate it to a feast level to say, you know, all our favorite foods, decadence, calories, you know, let's really do it up.
Yeah, well, and it also, I think, can restart something. If there has been a period, a lull perhaps, it's a great way to restart.
A reconnect,
yeah, absolutely. You can build on going forward, right? It's not going to be the same. You're not going to have that moment every single week or every single day, but it is something that you get to build on going forward that can kickstart something that may have fizzled just a bit, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk to more? You mentioned about marking time and making memories and how that does that. Can you say a little bit more about what that does for a relationship? Like, why is that important for us to be able to do that in relationship?
You know, I think that it's really easy, isn't it, to get caught up in daily living and, you know, to feel the pull of just what we got to get done, the to-do list. I talk to so many people who are so caught by, you know, their list of what has to be done before they can enjoy pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, the kids got to be in bed, the laundry's got to be folded, the dishes have to be done.
Everything else comes first.
The work emails have to be finished, the tools have to be put away, whatever it is. And they don't set aside a sacredness about a sexual moment.
Oh,
it's
I love
like,
that.
It's the
sacred
end
moment,
of the day versus, hey, this is really important. Let's put some bounds around it.
Yeah. A feast does bring some sacredness back into that a little bit as well.
It gives us permission to focus on touch and affection and sort of physical sensuality.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm hoping for people is that permission.
Yeah, and I think it also, too, that that moment becomes a touchstone for in the future. When there's conflict in the future, one of the things we have to be able to do is look back and see good moments, right? So if there's sexual conflict that comes up or sexual disagreements about sex that come up in the future, hey, looking back and saying, no, we had this moment,
this time
in that hotel downtown, this time, this trip that we went on to the Caribbean, whatever it was that marked that moment, you look back on, and that's going to get you through a lot of that conflict because that's going to build some good memories.
Right. And I was talking to this young couple this week, some friends of mine, and they had three jobs going, three little kids. I mean, just the most stressed out period of their life. You know, and I said, you know, traditionally, I hate to tell you, but this is statistically the worst time in marriage. You know, it's the low point. And the guy's like, oh, no, we're not going to settle for that. But he wanted to have like twice weekly talks about their relationship, particularly about the bedroom, you know, and his expectation was kind of like, you know, we should have extravagant sex all the time. I'm like, you know, there are seasons. There are seasons of life, and I hate to break it to you, but accounting for that and being realistic takes some of the pressure off it. With constant pressure, you're going to squeeze you're going to snuff out desire in a partner who feels completely stressed out.
And with that, then there's no anticipation of what's coming, right?
Right.
I think one of the things that planning a sexual feast does, right, is it gives us something to look forward to.
Right.
It builds some anticipation into our relationship that whatever we're going through, if there is that season that's going on, it's not going to last forever, and we have this thing coming. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It
gives us patience for a you know, a dull season in our life or a busy season.
But that's what the holiday season does, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, we anticipate it
all
for
year
most
long.
Of the year.
I'm looking forward to Christmas. I mean, Christmas is all it's it.
Yeah, and I think we need those times in marriage, like at least once a year, if not more than that, right? I mean, I know you recommend what, four times a year?
Yeah, quarterly.
Quarterly. Having something like this.
Get away for a night.
Yeah. But even the sexual feast, though, I think longer time, if you like at least once a year, you're going away for what, a week, if you can, if at all possible, for multiple days.
That would
together.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to relax on just one night when you're thinking, okay, I can relax. But at least two nights, you know,
at least two nights
with each other. And, you know, I think one of the things that is really crazy, and I'll just be quick, is that, you know, people devote their honeymoons to travel and adventure. And honeymoons are a sex holiday. They are a sex vacation. You're supposed to stay in bed, lay on a beach, and drink little umbrella drinks and go back to bed, you know? I mean, it's all about the body and getting to know each other and making that a priority. And so I think the sexual feast is a mini moon.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll come right back. This is 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with your host, sex therapist Lori Watson, and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. We'll be right back.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Hi, I'm Dr. Adam Matthews, and I want to welcome you to Matthews Counseling. At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We believe in people, specifically that no two people are alike and therefore they need solutions that are unique to them. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. At Matthews Counseling, www.awakeningcenter.net, we strive to help make the first step easy. There you will find our blog with some great resources from our therapist. You'll also find a link to our client portal where you can schedule directly with our therapist at your convenience. We offer free 30-minute consultations either in person or over the phone, so the first step is at no cost to you. Give us a call at 919-587-8018 or again, find us online at matthewscounseling.net. We look forward to working with you.
Hey, we're back for Play Radio Sex Therapy. We're talking about the sexual feast.
That word, I like that phrase in general, right? sexual feast.
Uh-huh.
There's something about it that's combining two of my favorite things. All right.
I'm so glad to hear that, Adam. I'm really glad to hear that. Yes.
Sex and food.
Good. Right. Good. Okay.
So how do we do this? What are we doing?
Okay, we got to figure out how to overindulge, right?
Yeah.
What's the overindulgence?
Well, most people don't like that, right? I think they have to get over their
we're so disciplined
fear
as Americans.
maybe. Are we? I don't know.
Probably. Never mind.
We're Puritan. Yeah, I mean, when it comes to sex, we don't want to overindulge, right?
Right.
We can supersize all our junk food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? We're willing to take that.
But we're Puritans when it comes to sex.
Yeah,
and we're talking about sex with your partner, but we're talking about how can you overindulge with your partner?
Yeah, and that really just means just getting your fill, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really about filling up as much as you possibly can.
Right. Really getting saturated with touch and sex and arousal and just really doing it.
Yeah. And we do that with vacations, but again, like you talked about earlier, we want to do the big adventure vacations. We go, I mean, the people, have you ever seen people planning, or maybe you've gone planning to go to Disney World these days?
And oh my gosh,
the event that is and the amount
just the
of time,
planning.
The planning that has to go into it.
It's like,
right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I grew up next to Disneyland.
Did you?
Yeah. So I like,
this.
Yeah. So I know Disneyland like the back of my hand. When I went to Disney World, I mean, it was, I knew everything. I knew where the bathrooms were, which is very essential to me, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Where it's is the bathroom?
Where's the good and clean bathrooms? Right?
Where are the good and clean? Well, yeah. Disney World and Disneyland, they're always clean. That's
right.
The cool thing.
But yeah, I mean, there are people that have their full time jobs. I know several of them are to plan your Disneyland tour.
Disney
vacation.
Okay.
Right.
And okay. So where are you going to go on the sexual holiday?
Right. I mean, I think the overindulgence is like going big.
You got to go big.
Right. I mean, I think you have
pun intended.
Right. No. No.
Bring the Viagra, gentlemen.
Maybe a little bit. But yeah, I mean, but overindulgence means that we're going to not just in the planning of it, but in the scope and the breadth of it that we are thinking about for this intended purpose.
Like the nicest hotel you can afford.
Yeah.
And we know people are listening who can't afford that kind of stuff. We understand. But then, you know, buy a fake fur rug and, you know, get some firewood and some really fine wine and, you know, and some really fine chocolates and really do it up.
Right. And I mean,
if it has to be at home.
Yeah. Go just as big as you possibly as you can. I mean, I think dreaming big about it, it may not be exactly what you would hope for, but you go bigger than what you might normally do. I think that's one way that we start to get our heads around overindulging, right?
Exactly. So my husband and I, I've been in my doctorate program this year. This has been one of the toughest years of my life. We're doing foreplay. I'm working clinically.
You're busy.
Writing blogs. Yeah. Doing my doctorate program, and I still have research to do, but I'll be completely done with all my classes and assignments by mid-December. Mm-hmm. And so one of our favorite shows is Longmire, mm-hmm. and they're coming out with one of their seasons on Netflix. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to some nice city, just lay in bed all day long and watch Longmire and, you know, whatever comes naturally.
Whatever comes naturally Longmire. Right.
But we are having our own getaway for sure.
Yeah.
Because I'm up to here with done.
Well, there's purpose in that, I think, which is really nice, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's really purposeful. It's not just a vacation just to have a vacation.
It's just
there's
to
no pressure
be
there.
Relaxed, be together, you know, just take the time. And, I mean—
relational and spiritual renewal for me. You know, I just, it's like I need, my husband has been so patient through this process. My family has been so supportive and patient through this process. You know, they've helped around the house, helped us move, helped us do all kinds of things. It's been great. But we just need to go away and relax.
Mm. I think that's great. And I think that that just really, it takes advantage of your time together, right?
Yeah.
And you're not pressured to run around and see all the attractions. Your purpose is to connect. I think
right. We are not going to Disney World.
Oh, that's
okay.
Good.
Okay. So how do we do this? We want to, you know, make sure that there's agreement with your partner so that you can begin to fantasize about where are we going? What are we going to do when we get there?
Yeah. And I think that, as you said before, like usually both parties are going to be agreeable to this event. But I think there's also an agreement about it being the purpose of it being a celebratory event of your relationship.
Right.
Right. And I think that that is something that we can get behind, that we can start with and then build on. Right. And whatever comes, like you said, whatever comes and you, but you can also be explicit about what you want. Right.
I'm sorry. I heard all those innuendos. I can't not hear that, you know.
I know.
Okay, but and I think another thing that we need to do is really stretch during these seasons, right? In a sexual feast, there's something about the dish that Aunt Mary brings that is like the mystery casserole.
Right.
You know, like bring some mystery casserole to this thing, you know,
some.
Something that you know, haven't tried before and something that might be a little bit dicey. But, you know, between the two of you, you know, it's all OK between the two of you. But I would say challenge yourself to stretch some sexually,
yeah.
You know, to try something new. And
yeah. Well, I think this involves like talking about your fantasies with your partner. Right.
During the sexual feast.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Like looking at you know, what each of you may want, that the other may, you know, be outside the other's comfort zone a little bit, but this is the time to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the time to, you know, try those.
Go ahead,
those,
Adam. Go what? Ahead. To try. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, to try new things.
To try new things, yes.
Is in the space of the quickie sex or the... Just get, you know, appointment sex.
Right. Thursday night is not the best time to say, hey, I'd like to act out one of my fantasies.
When everybody's tired and worn down. Right. Your resistance to that is higher in those moments, right?
Yeah, but this is the sexual feast. This is the time to say, hey, let's really try something special.
Yeah.
And people ask us, you know, can't you tell us what to do? But I feel like in my therapy sessions, I never answer that question. Because what's in somebody's head is so much richer. And I could fall short or I could go long, you know. And either way, it interrupts their personalized fantasy expression, you know, and the revelation of what's inside their mind. So I would say to each of you, you know, see if you can write it down a little bit. Like, this is what I'd like to do. So that it gives you some courage and some outline to share. Also, a sexual feast, though, not the time to drive home something that you know your partner's against.
Sure, yeah.
You know, if there's already a stop on something, this is not the time to say, hey, you know, could we do that thing that you never want to do? It's like, okay.
Oh, you don't want
to set yourself up for a little bit of failure.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be fun and not a fight. Like, you're not looking to try to start a fight with your partner for sure, right? But all of this sounds like, Lori, that we have to be intentional in these things. It requires some planning.
It
right?
does.
It's in
it
some
does.
Thinking through how this is going to happen, right? Even maybe financially, how we're going to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's setting aside some time to do it, right? And then really having to defend that time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there does have to be some planning and thought that,
I like that.
Goes behind it. It's not
defend
just something.
Defend the time. Clear the calendar.
Yeah. I mean, I think we have to set it aside so that we make sure it happens. Because I think otherwise, it's either we don't end up doing it, right, because we're just waiting for it to happen, or we rush it and we're just like, okay, this is the only weekend we have, let's go. And then it's tense because it's something that we haven't set aside the time for, right? And it's not everything that it could be.
I think, too, just in terms of the what should happen in a sexual feast, the same sorts of things that happen at Thanksgiving and Christmas or Hanukkah or big celebratory kinds of times, which is we pay attention to all the senses, right? We pay attention to light, to lighting, candlelight. What are we seeing? We decorate. So maybe we decorate ourselves, you know, dress nice, lingerie. I mean, sight is really important, right? And aroma is important. So maybe it's special cologne or a crackling fire or, you know, sometimes they have, you know, they have those bath salts that have perfume in them or stuff. And it depends if you're sensitive or not to that, but that might be one way to really start the thing off and try to be as sensuous as possible. You know, different textures, you know, maybe it's the silky quilt or the fur rug or, you know, feathers or whatever, boas, you know, different textures are fun and tastes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's like flavored lubricants or honey or chocolate or something, you know, that you bring along. Or maybe it's just, you know, wine. Good wine is one of the greatest sexual lubricants out there.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, sex med.
Yeah. I mean, I think that just all the senses become at play there, right? And what I hear you saying too is you're just experimenting with a bunch of stuff to see what excites you the most? What gets you in the mood the most? What you're just bringing everything in that you can think of that might be helpful.
Yeah, and some people say, well, I don't know how I want to be touched. It's like, okay, so perfect opportunity to try different things. Try soft, medium, you know, firm touches. Try all those things to discover what you like.
Yeah.
You know, this is the time to really touch and to feel yourself touching and feel yourself being touched.
Yeah. All right. Sexual feast, man.
Like that, sexual feast.
Like planning those. That Thanksgiving this week, maybe in a couple months.
Yeah. Not when you're in your hometown with your in-laws. That's not the best time to have a sexual feast.
Right.
Okay. So thank you for listening to us, Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews. Thanks for listening. Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.